Everybody in unison, verse number 13. Ready? Follow my pace now. And verse number 13, read it with thought. The apostle says, ready? Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Father, we thank you again for this time. And once more, we implore you, Father, for your grace and your work among us and the working of your Holy Spirit to arrest our attention. Thank you for this occasion, this time, and the fellowship, just getting together with other youth groups from other churches and encouraging one another. Iron sharpens iron, and I know that meetings like this are beneficial and helpful, and I pray that the preaching time now this day would be profitable and be used for your glory and for your purposes, that as Brother Ryan mentioned a few moments ago, that this might be a time of decision. And I look back at my own life and remember life-defining moments. And so many of those life-defining moments came when I was sitting under the preaching and the teaching of your word. Now may your Holy Spirit work to accomplish your will in every life. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. God bless you. You may be seated. I would like for my wife to stand. Sandra, would you mind? I know you mind, but please stand. And this is my wife, Sandy. I call her Sandra. I'm about the only one that calls her that. But she and I celebrated this past year in 2016, the month of May, we celebrated 50 years of marriage. And this summer, we will have been in full-time ministry, God willing, full-time ministry for 50 years together. So we've been together a long time and have been down this ministry road serving the Lord together for a long time, and I want to thank God for her. Now, you know, as a pastor, as a preacher, in the past 50 years, I don't even have any idea how many times, not just from the pulpit, but how many times I've sat down with people in their home or in my office or over a cup of coffee somewhere for the purpose of giving some biblical counsel. You know, we call it biblical counseling. It's just the difference, to me, it's just the difference whether I'm preaching from the pulpit or preaching in their living room or preaching in my office, because all we know to tell them is the Word of God. We're not psychologists, and we don't try to psychoanalyze everybody. We just try to give them what the Word of God says about their life and what's going on in their life. And so I don't know how many times I've done that, and over and over and over again, which is why a pastor needs to live in the Bible and be in communion with God and fellowship with God, because it's just the role of a pastor. There are people that need help. And a true pastor has a great desire to help them. Now, along the way, I have to confess that there have been times where I felt like I needed to let it out. You know what I mean? In other words, there were times when I felt like, well, somebody didn't do right, something's not quite going right, and I'm not a guy that's easily discouraged or anything like that. But every once in a while, I just feel like, let's see, how can I say this with dignity? I can't. I just feel like whining once in a while. You know, just whine. I feel like, okay, it's my turn. I've sat around and listened to people whine about their life and their situations. Now I want to whine a little bit. And somebody says, that is very selfish of you. You know, that's exactly right. I'm not proud that those moments have ever come in my life. I'm just saying they have come. So who am I going to whine to? Well, it's the role of a husband and wife. Here's my helpmeet sitting here, and she's a good woman. She's a godly woman, spiritual woman. I've said over the years that one of her greatest strengths is she is one of the finest listeners that I know in terms of listening to people and just hearing them out. And God's given her a gift where people can come and talk to her, and she just listens and smiles at them, and they walk away and saying, that is so much help. And she didn't even say anything, you know. Now, when she does talk, it's worth listening to. So I'm whining a little bit. And I'm whining to her. And so after a while, it's time for her to give me counsel. Now, what I appreciate about her is her counsel doesn't take long. She's not going to sit there and talk your leg off, at least not me. And so when I've whined, I've had her listen And I could tell, okay, it's about time for me to shut this down. And so I stop and kind of wait for her response, which has been two words. Grow up. And of course, it helped me so much. Made me feel so good about myself. My self-esteem just went way up, you know. I'm just saying. She said, grow up. Now, what she lacks in compassion toward her husband, well, she makes up for it with brevity, you know, and getting right to the point. And she has said to me, grow up. And so that's pretty good advice. Now, here's the thing. We're in this assembly, in this meeting today, with people that are in the process of growing in every way, physically, for the most part, physically and spiritually and mentally and in every way. You're at a stage of life where there is some growing taking place. And growing up is not always a blessing. In other words, every step is not always really a delightful experience. I remember our son saying to me when he was a senior in high school, he's sitting there one night, he's in a Christian school, and he's sitting there late one night. We've been talking about things and issues and about him, and he sat there, and after things got quiet, he said, hey, Dad. I said, what? He said, because he had made the statement. He said, if I ever graduate from this high school, I'll never set foot on the property again. That's what he said. That's how he felt about it. Well, then he did graduate. Then he started the Bible college. And then he started paying his bills and working and trying to do homework and play basketball and do all kinds of stuff. And one night he's sitting there when he feels like everything's coming in on him, and he's sitting there and he said, hey, Dad. And I said, what? He said, I'm just wondering why I was so anxious to get out of high school. And you know what he found out? That there is pain in this process of growing. And it's not always a pleasant and a delightful experience. In fact, one man said that growing up is so hard to do, I would rather just go from one childhood to another. And you know, there are many people that do just that. I mean, I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to be critical. But I can just tell you what, it's no fun to try to help a 40-year-old child. I said, it's not fun to try to help a 40-year-old child. And what happens for the most part, for men that are 40-year-old child or women that are 40 and 50-year-old children, is that they were never properly challenged at this stage of their life to accept the responsibility to grow up. Hence, they don't grow up. And here they are 35 and 40 and even 50 years old. And I can tell you in the context of church life, that really makes for a difficult situation like they had in the Church of Corinth, where the Church of Corinth was kind of the mentality, you know, this growing is a very difficult thing. It means I don't always get my way. I would rather just go from one childhood to another, to another, to another. And many people live and die just like that. It's a fact. So basically what the apostle is saying is this to the church at Corinth, who we found in the early part of the chapter was a childish, immature church. Strife, division, let's put it this way, drama. Always some kind of drama going on in the church at Corinth. Listen to this. If you read through the book of 1 Corinthians, here's some of the drama that took place in the church at Corinth. There was carnality. There were divisions. There was pride. All of these Paul addressed. There was immorality that was tolerated in the church. There were people in the church that felt offended. So one church member would take another church member to the court and drag these matters that should have been settled between Christians to the courts of the heathen. That was going on. And taking marriage and divorce was totally misunderstood by most of the people in this church. Idolatry had not been totally abandoned by many of the people that were in the church. Authority was an issue with them, accepting authority in their life. Abuses at the Lord's table, that would be the Lord's Supper. Confusion over spiritual gifts. They were confused doctrinally about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I know all of those things don't make you sit up on the edge of your seat, but I'm just saying if you read all of the book of 1 Corinthians, you would see that they went from one drama to another, to another, to another. Something was always cooking in the church, causing strife, hold on, and distracting from the purpose of the church. And the reason had to do with the fact these people were not developing, they were not maturing, and the Apostle Paul writes this long letter to try to help them. He loves them, he cared for them. He was their father in the Lord. In other words, he led many of these people to Christ. He was the founding pastor of that church from a human standpoint, and he labored among them and tried to teach them, and now he sees where they are and basically clears off a spot at the end in the passage that we are using, and he says, all right, now it's time to grow up. Now somebody says, what do you think their problem was? Why were they having such a difficult time? Well, I try to understand. I want to be an understanding person and try to give the benefit of the doubt. And to be fair, the church at Corinth had lost many of the familiar influences in their life. In other words, if you went back to Acts chapter 18, you'd see that the Apostle Paul went into the city of Corinth, and after he had labored there for 18 months, then the church at Corinth was left behind. And so, again, he was the founding pastor. Now, we all have to admit, even if you only know the Bible or the New Testament at a surface level, you certainly recognize the name of this Saul of Tarsus who became the Apostle Paul, and that he is the author of 13 books of the New Testament. So we're talking about a fairly significant individual here. Somebody say amen. I mean, a real significant individual. And he was with them and labored among them and taught them, and now he is not there. He is writing from Ephesus, and he doesn't have any plans to come real soon. Like maybe the church felt like they needed him there, and so he's not going to come for a while. But not only is Paul not there, I think we have to remember that he's talking about Timothy, and he said, now, if Timothy comes, then you pay attention to Timothy. If you went back to Acts chapter 18, you'll see that when Paul was there in Corinth, at least for a part of the 18 months he was there, Timothy was there with him. So Timothy would have been someone much younger than Paul, and much less knowledgeable and mature in the ministry than Paul, but somebody that was a man of God and somebody that they were familiar with. And now you come to the time where not only is Paul absent from this church, but Timothy, who would have been familiar to them, is also absent from them. And then you go on and read where we did, and you'll see that in verse number 12 about Apollos. And there were people that loved Apollos. That's why when they went through the drama of the division, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ, and the church was all divided like this, there were some that said, Apollos is my man. He's the one that I'm going to listen to. Apollos is the one I really like his preaching, and he's the one that really spoke to me or fed me or whatever the case might be. Hold on. Apollos isn't there either. So in their young life, they have had some very significant individuals among them, the Apostle Paul, Timothy, who was a young man of God himself, and Apollos, who was a very eloquent individual. And so all of these men that they had known in their life as teachers and mentors and preachers among them, watch, they are gone. They are not there. Now somebody said, who is there at that particular time? I'm not sure, but it really doesn't matter. All I know is this. Whoever was there to give the spiritual oversight didn't have quite the impact upon them, apparently, as the Apostle Paul or as Timothy or as Apollos. And so this church is at a stage when it's like they are struggling. It's like they are stumbling. It's like they are moving from one drama to another drama over selfishness and self-centeredness, and they are going through all of this, and the apostle is saying to them, you are not maturing, you are remaining babes, and it is time for you to grow up. Now, let's stop here for just a second, because somebody says, well, thank you, but that church at Corinth, that was a long time ago, wasn't it? Yeah. That church Corinth probably doesn't even exist today, does it? No. Well, why are we spending all this time on the church of Corinth? Well, let me just put it this way. Sooner than you think, you're going to go through some real changes in your life. Sooner than you think, you're going to be in a position to where the people that you have known, maybe loved, respected, that have taught you, helped you, you're going to come to the life point in life when they are perhaps not there as they were once there in your life. In other words, or something about it, when you mature and you grow, some people will stay right in their hometown, stay right in their home church and such as that. And there are others that are going to move on. Some are going to move on for this kind of education or that kind of education. I highly recommend that a person that knows Jesus Christ and been under the sound of the word, that they spend at least a year in Bible college. I highly recommend that they read the book, The Case for Bible College, that Brother Ryan Rich has written. I highly recommend that. I can't dictate that to anybody. I mean, I've tried to tell people, do you know God sent me here to tell you his will for your life? And so I've tried that, but that doesn't work too good. So I can't do that, but I would ask everybody to consider, would it be in the purpose and the plan of God? Would it help me as a believer to spend a year in a good Bible college and getting grounded and strengthened and deepened in the Word of God? Would that help me to experience that kind of atmosphere, that kind of life, and that kind of devotion, giving attention to the things of God and the Word of God? Would that be a good thing? And when those times come, whether you go pursue a secular education or whether you are going to be in pursuit of some military career or whatever it is that you move on to, you know, soon enough, you're going to come to the place where you realize that pastor I always listened to isn't here anymore. And that youth pastor that used to call me and kind of mother me to make sure I stayed in church and to hear the word of God and to be taught and instructed, he's not there anymore. And as a matter of fact, when you move on from the youth department and you go to maybe the college and career type age, you might find there's a different atmosphere in here than there was in our youth department. Now, there's a different emphasis here. There is a lack of zeal and interest and enthusiasm in these people that are now young adults, or things are just different. And you might move on to where, whether it's Heartland or some other good Bible college. And you might move on to Bible college and you get to the place and you're there and said, this church that I'm attending in Bible college, this isn't like my home church. And you might say, this preacher, he's different than my preacher. It might be that you might say, this preacher preaches longer than my preacher, or he preaches meaner than my preacher, or he preaches different than my preacher. I'm used to my preacher. Are you listening to me? And you're going to get to the place where some of the influences in your life, including that living under your parents' house, and especially if you have godly parents who care and watch over you, I'm just going to tell you, there's not a Bible college in America that can make enough rules and enough guidelines to keep everybody in shape and spiritual and godly. You're still going to have to make decisions for yourself. And you're going to have to make choices on your own. I mean, you're going to come to some crossroads and some situations and, yes, temptations in your life. And the way that you leaned upon or depended upon somebody else, the kind of shadowing over your life, that all changes as you begin to, how shall we say it, grow up. And that's a part of the process. And what the Apostle Paul is saying that to this church at Corinth, all right, now look, you've had one act of drama after another, you've got division, you've got strife, you've got a carnal church that can't possibly be producing the spiritual fruit that it's supposed to produce, and you've got these issues and these issues, and you used to depend upon the Apostle Paul. He might be saying, me, you might have once depended upon Timothy, but I don't know when he's coming, and I want Apollos to be there, but Apollos doesn't want to be there, but he'll be there sometime. And so now here you are, what are you going to do? And he says, here's what you need to do. You need to grow up. Well, I didn't see that in there. Well, you did. You just didn't recognize it. So look down at verse number 13 again. Now watch this. Verse number 13. And the apostle says in verse 13, now there are two couplets here. In other words, there are two different lines or statements of two facts that belong together. There are two couplets here. I want to talk about them in just a minute. And verse 13, he said, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Now those two go together, and I'm not going to take time for a long explanation. I'm going to keep moving here. So watch this now. He said, watch ye and stand fast in the faith. Now if you are studying this passage to be a teacher or preacher and communicate to somebody else, you might do like a lot of us do. We'll read, we'll study the words and the word and the context and all of that. And you might get an idea from another commentator or two or five or six or nine, however many. And so if you read a commentary, somebody that also believes the Bible, and you find out, what does he mean? Watch ye, stand fast. Every commentator that I read, there were numerous, every commentator that I read makes reference to, this is like a military thing. Watch ye, stand fast. And most would relate it, I think justifiably so, most would relate it back to when God, Moses died, and God called Joshua to lead the people of Israel into the land of Canaan. All right? And so here's what God did. Now watch. The Lord, the captain of the army, I'm talking about Joshua's captain, the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ, Jesus, before he came manifest in the flesh in this earth, came to Joshua and he said to Joshua, it's time for you to be strong. It's time for you to stand. It's time for you to have faith. It's time for you to put away fear. It's time for you to do this. Now, Joshua had a monumental task on his hand. And what the Lord is saying is, Joshua, Moses isn't here anymore. Is everybody with me here? You don't have Moses to lean on anymore, son. You don't have Moses to give you direction and tell you what to do and what not to do anymore. You're the man. And now here's what you better do. You better stand, you better be strong, and you better exercise faith, and you better put away fear. And what he is saying is, I'm going to be your sufficiency. Now you have confidence in me. And when Joshua acted upon that, how does Joshua go down in history? As this stumbling, bumbling guy whose life was full of drama like the Corinthian church because he was so disobedient to God and paid no attention to God? No, he accepted the challenge and he had put away fear and he had confidence in God and in the ability of God and the strength of God. And I just have to tell you today that what Paul is saying here may be borrowing from Joshua's story, and he is saying, watch ye, stand fast. He is using this military term saying, okay, it is time to take your stand and put away fear. It is time for you to be what God has called you to be. It's time for you to watch, pay attention to what's around you, and stand fast in the faith. That's what he's saying to them. Now watch ye. Well, if you think of that in military terms, then you know that any military base anywhere, there are people on guard 24 hours a day. There are people at the gate 24 hours a day. And especially in this day of terrorism and the uncertainty, unsettled attitude towards the military, towards the United States, I guarantee you our bases are covered by men that are standing out there. They're alert. It means they're paying attention. They're looking around. They're mindful of what's out there. And something that you and I might stand there with them and say, what is he doing? Well, he's been trained to pay attention to things that you may not even know need paid attention to. And so watch ye means, come on, can I have your attention? It means you need to wake up. You need to be alert. You need to pay attention to what's going on in your life. Hold on just a second. This business as a child of God, this business as a believer of just putting your spiritual life in neutral and floating through life and saying, well, I got good Christian parents. I've been going to church all my life. I have a good youth pastor. I have this and I have that. Do you know the time comes when you have to learn what it is? You have to learn that there are adversaries out there. You have to learn that there are snares out there for your life. And you're going to come to the time when this alertness has to be on your part, not on somebody that's watching over you. And that's part of growing up, to pay attention yourself, to be alert. Be alert about what? Well, again, there are many adversaries. Can I have your attention? There are many snares, the Bible calls them. There are many snares. There are many traps. There are many pitfalls. We have an adversary, the devil. He's like a roaring lion that goes about seeking whom he may devour. He's crafty. He's slick. He slips up on your blind side. He slips up at your weakest moment to attack. And what the apostle is saying, look, church, it is time. Albeit you have been young, albeit you depended upon these people, albeit they are not there, Paul said there's still nothing keeping you from paying attention to what's going on and being alert. And I would like to say to you, you need to be alert. You need to pay attention carefully what's coming into these eyes and into these ears. I said you need to pay attention carefully to the influences that you're allowing in your life. whether it's by social media or whether it's by Hollywood or whether it's by friends that have no regard for this Bible and no regard for the things of God. It is time, and now would be a good time to start. I don't care where you are, if you know Jesus. I don't care how old you might be or how young you might be. Now would be a great time to start paying attention for yourself. Amen. And thinking about this. And instead of saying, my parents don't like any of my friends, then open your eyes and see that you're saved. You're a child of God. I said, he has rightful claim on your life. You better pay attention to the kind of influences that come into your life. I'm going to say it again. You better pay attention to what's coming into these eyes. You better pay attention to what's coming into these ears. You better, listen, you better pay attention to whoever it is that has your ear. You better measure this carefully. Because I'm just telling you, my friend, there are snares and there are adversaries. And look, the adversary is subtle and pull you away and keep you from the faith and keep you from being what you're supposed to be as a child of God. No, I'm not saying this as a cliche. I'm not. But God has a purpose for your life. And if you're not alert and you're not paying attention, well, I'm just 15 or I'm just 14, I'm just 17. Question. When do you think it'd be a good time to start growing up? Okay, here's what I'm going to do. When I'm 18, I'm going to start growing up. Now, whoever identified that number as the time of adulthood was an idiot. You shouldn't say that. Well, I probably shouldn't, but it's too late. I've already blown it right there. Whoever said that was an idiot. When you're 18, you're an adult. That's sick. It's ridiculous. Well, are you putting down 18-year-olds? No, but nobody can just pick out a number and say from this time on they are into adulthood, because that's not necessarily the case. I'm just saying, I'm only 13, Brother Sam, or I'm only 14. So at what point do you think it would be good for you to start paying attention for yourself? Well, my parents didn't say I shouldn't listen to this music. No, but if it's grieving the Spirit of God that's in you, and there's something in your conscience that's being tweaked, and you know this probably isn't going to help my life, then do you have to wait for your parents to say, don't listen to that? And because if you're going to remain childish, you're going to be mad at them for even trying to help you. Is everybody with me here? So he said, watch. Verse number 13, he said, watch ye. This King James Bible is hard to understand. Really? Watch ye. Pay attention. Be on the alert. Take the military thing. Enemies are around. What's going on with these men here and these soldiers here? What are they doing? They're watching. They're watching for any activity that might be threatening. They're watching for something that might be dangerous. They're watching for something that might come into their life. Let me just tell you something. I've been saved since I was 6 years old. I've been saved for a long, long time by now. I can tell you this, but I have not reached a time in my life where I don't need to pay attention to the ways of the adversary and the weakness of my own flesh. I need to stay on the alert. That's why I read this Bible every day. Amen. That's why I read through this book 4 times a year. Amen. It's not like I don't have a clue what's in here. I better find out. I'm a preacher. It's not like I know everything either. That's why I stay in this. This Bible will keep your eyes open. This Bible will keep your eyes open about yourself, about our adversary, about the power of our captain, Jesus Christ. Isn't it a neat thing that, look, Joshua's captain, the Lord, was Paul's captain, and their captain is my captain. Yeah. So what did they do? They watched. They kept their eyes open. What should I do? Watch and keep my eyes open. And stand fast in the faith. Now, that's an interesting thing too. Stand fast, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. In other words, stand fast in the faith has to do with a stability, a strength and a stability that is there. Listen to Warren Wiersbe. Some of you Bible students in here, you know that name, others don't. But nonetheless, I'm just giving credit to a good quote. Here's what he said. Stand fast in the faith, it means to have mature stability. His study of the phrase and of the word, he came to the same conclusion a lot do that he said it well. He said, it means to have mature stability. Paul warned they were immature children who needed to grow up. When he said, watch ye stand fast, he said the Corinthian people were immature people who needed to grow up. Yeah, stand fast. You study the little line there, stand fast, and you'll see that it not only has to do with the stability, but it has another side that says, don't vacillate. Don't vacillate. As soon as I read that, it made me go back in my mind to the days before all the technology that we have for copying machines and all the digital stuff and everything. And Brother Rince, you probably did it too. I don't know. But I used to do copies when I was a pastor and I was an associate pastor. I'd do the copying work on the best technology they had at the time. And it would have been a AB Dick 320 tabletop copy machine. And so this copy machine, you put ink in it. And then you put water in this deal over here. And then you put some other kind of fluid over here. You got all this stuff. And then when you turn it on, it's loud enough. I mean, it drowns out any other noise going on. And those rollers start going like this. And they just spinning. I mean, just, I mean, that baby's a humming. And what you do is you put on you burn an image into a plate. You put it on the big roller. And then you start running the paper through. And sometimes it actually can do 10 or 12 sheets at a time without stopping up. And so you'd run that through there, and you'd watch that thing. And when it's really running right, it's really fun to watch. I mean, those rollers are spinning. One of them's putting on ink. One of them's washing something. One of them's doing this. Another one's doing that. And there's one that's called an oscillating roller. And it's the only one that's doing it. And that roller is moving back and forth like this. Now, it had to do with something with the cleaning or the fluid or something on it. I don't even remember. I don't know. But I just know it's the only fluid. And in this case, this oscillating fluid contributed to the well-being, the function of the machine. But you know this, is everybody listening to this? If every roller on them is oscillating, you'd have had a real mess on your hand. You could have copied absolutely nothing. You'd have had nothing but a big smear. Now hold on just a second. When you bring that into life, you know how many youth departments are? They've got about half of them are oscillating rollers. And they're moving back and forth. And they're not stable. You know how many churches are? Come on, I pastor. I'm not being critical or ugly or anything. Just facing the reality that it'd be amazing what the church could accomplish if there weren't so many oscillating members. If there weren't so many oscillating young people. What do you mean by that? Back and forth, back and forth. I'm on fire for God. I love my youth department. Can I give a testimony? Oh, this is absolutely wonderful. There's a lot of love in here. And 2 weeks later, it can be just the opposite. Criticizing, gossiping, and bickering, and fussing over petty, jealousy, silly, goofy, idiotic stuff. There goes that word again. I'm just saying, it shows up, doesn't it? And back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And here's the church at Corinth that perceived themselves to be spiritual, but they were not. And Paul said, you have no stability. You're back and forth, back and forth. Stand ye fast in the faith. Do what is right before God. Understand what the Word of God says. Live by the Word of God. Not just when it suits you and when it feels good for you, but stand fast in the Lord. Stability and strength. That's what he's talking about. At Heartland, it's really interesting year after year to watch students come. We love our students. And some of them remind me when I started Bible college. By that I mean, I look at them and say, oh boy, what are they doing here? Just like the dean of men said to me on week 2 of my experience, he said, I'm going to move you to this room. That was my 4th move in 2 weeks. He said, I'm going to move you to this room, and your next move is back to Oklahoma. And so that's kind of where I was. I'm not proud of it, but I'm just saying, the way I was and the grace and the time that God allowed me to develop some kind of maturity and grow a little bit, I'm thankful for the opportunity that people gave me. Yep. And I see some of them come, and it's like, oh boy, every rule is a dumb rule. Everything that's required of them, you know, it's everything in church, let yourself get plugged in and involved in church life. We've got adoptive parents. You cooperate with your parents. We do a little orientation on how to get along with your adoptive parents and all of that. And here, look at me a second. Everything is, that's kind of the response. You can see that. And so, you know, I got to keep an eye on this situation here. And then there are others that come, and it's like just straight ahead. Straight ahead. Maybe some rule is new to them, but it's just a rule. I can live by that for now. And some of them even come to see the wisdom of it and just straight ahead. Some of them, instead of going to complain to others, are helping others. And you can just see them. You know what the difference is? Some came having already grown. Amen. Some were in the process of growing, and they were interested in growing up. And others came and are in absolute denial that there is any need of growing up. See? Yeah. And so I'm going to ask you again, what point in life do you think it'd be a good time to start being alert? And hold on just a second. And instead of vacillating and being one of those oscillating or vacillating rollers there, going back and forth and back and forth, when do you think it'd be a good time to just say, steady, roots deeper, roots stronger? Things that used to blow me out of the water and make me want to quit the youth group and the church don't even faze me anymore. When do you think it'd be a good time to start that? And I don't think I'm looking at anybody. If you're saved and you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, I don't think I'm looking at anybody. Can't start to get a handle on this and say it's time to grow up. Now look at me a second. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Corinth, it's not like he expected that by now they would be spiritual giants, but he did want to see movement in the right direction. And it's not like there are 13 and 14 and 16 and 15 to whatever age group that we have here. Still in the high school process or junior high process, it's not like anybody's expecting you to be spiritual giants, but there ought to be some movement in your life. Look at me. And if there's not, then don't point the finger somewhere else. And don't blame somebody else for your own lack of growth and development. You. Watch. You stand fast in the faith. Well, that hurt my feelings. Take it to God and get over it and stand up. Absolutely. Grow up. That's basically what it is. I said to my wife, grow up. You know, I got over it in a hurry. Just grow up. And if not, you know what's going to happen? From one childhood to another, to another. Look at me, ladies and gentlemen. Something you don't want to do is be a 35-year-old child. You do not want to be a 40-year-old child. You'll have your own children by then, and children raising children is not a good combination. And this is a good time to start growing up right now. To the other couplet right here, and I got to quit. He said, quit you like men. Be strong. Boy, I got to give this definition too. Listen to what G. Campbell Morgan said. Quit ye like men. Here's what he said. Listen to this. This is a good quote. That word quit literally means grow up. How many of you ever heard of G. Campbell Morgan? Some of you preachers, come on. Yeah. Well, you should. He's an old timer from back in the past century. But I'm telling you, a man of God of wisdom. And here's what he said. That word quit, and he's right. The word quit literally means to grow up. Do not be children. Do not be babes. Be able to stand up. Now, here's what he said. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. They go together. Now you go back to Joshua chapter 1 again, that's basically what the Lord was saying to Joshua. So it doesn't matter if it's in the Old Testament, the time of Joshua, or this time in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. It lives in the Word of God to speak to us right now. And basically what he is saying to God's people today is, can you see that the world is in a mess? Can you see there's a need for a godly testimony? Come on, I'm asking you the question. Can you see that there's a need for young men and women to be a light that's shining in dark places? Can you see that there's a need to be salt of the earth? There needs some kind of preservation and healing for our society. Can you see that there's a need for young men and women to be serious about Jesus Christ? All right, here's the admonition that is given to us by the Word of God. Quit you like men and be strong. And quit means grow up. Quit you like men. It's time to be a man. I could take you to an Old Testament story, won't go into it now, where one soldier said to the other, quit you like men. In other words, he said, it's time to, here's the term, play the man. Play the man. Be a man. You know, these last two terms, you know basically what they're saying? Quit you like men. Be strong. You know what? We could bring it into today's vernacular. You know what he is saying? Be manly. Now, I know I'm talking to some ladies too. I understand that. Let me just address the young men. We live in a time in our culture when there is a desperate need for manliness, where there is a desperate need for masculinity. God help you. Don't let Hollywood make a sissy out of you. Don't let this culture sweep you away and make you some kind of limp-wristed sissy. Don't let that happen. Let the Word of God shape your life. And you know what you'll wind up doing? Having conviction in your soul and seeing the need that in this culture, this society, as a child of the living God, I need to stand up and be a man. We need some manly Christians. Manly Christians. Manly. Yep. You know what I heard, Brother Sam? What? I heard at Heartland, the guys can't even wear pink shirts. Now, that's not true. That is absolutely not true. But they are going to pay a price. Well, what do you have against pink shirts? That's what I have against pink shirts. Is everybody with me here? Come on. We need some masculinity. Well, I'm wearing pink because I'm securing my manhood. That's the dumbest statement. One of the absolute dumbest statements I've ever heard in my life. Somebody heard somebody say it. So they say it like, I'm securing my manhood. Then dress like a man. Leave pink with the ladies and be a man. Now, hold on just a second. The whole issue is not what color shirt or tie you wear or socks. Deliver us from pink socks, too. But that's not the whole issue. The whole issue is in the realm of living your life as a Christian, don't be so weak that you're governed by the cultural winds and by the stuff and the fads that just continue to come and go and get weirder all the time. Don't be governed by that. Come on, know who you are in Jesus Christ. You're not to be defined by your style, your fashion, and all of that. You're to be defined by your faith in God, your faith in the Word of God. Be strong. Quit you like men. And let me say this. Quit you like ladies, ladies of God. Come on, we're not without some real examples of some strong women with deep-rooted faith in the Word of God. Be one of them. Oh, our society, the masculinization of the feminine gender is so sad. I mean, it's so sad. Women's sports is made such a big deal, even in churches and church schools. Women's sports is just way blown out of proportion. I've never met anybody that played women's sports that said, it made me more feminine like God made me to be. As a matter of fact, it makes them more competitive with the males. Watch the football thing. Saying to myself, I'm glad I didn't get in this game. I'd have been one on the floor. That's where I'd have been. No, I'm serious. Women, but it's not just about sports and that. It's about this. Develop your Christian life. I guarantee you, if men will let God develop and grow them and be strong in the faith and nurture your strength, your faith in the Lord and your faith in the Word of God, I'm just telling you, you grow to be strong. You grow to be strong. And there's such a need. Excuse me, I have a question. When do you think it'd be a good time to start considering this? Now, don't tell me I'm just this or I'm just that. Then when should, if you have ears to hear the Word of God, when should you start growing up in the faith and be an example of what a Christian is? Let no man despise thy youth. Paul told young Timothy, and those words live to help us today too. So it's time to grow up. Father, thank you for these moments together. And I pray that they would be weighed in the whole scheme of things and what goes on here today, that they would be weighed carefully. And that if there are some young men and ladies that say, I've not been as watchful as I ought to be, I'm allowing things into my life that I know can't help me be a better Christian, which I know Jesus saved me and left me here to be a light and to be salt and to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And I'm not watching. And I'm not standing fast in the faith. I'm up and down, on again, off again. And as Brother Ryan we struggle for words. May something click, meaning may your Holy Spirit gain control. May this be a time when a heart is open and said, oh, Lord, I don't want my life filled with drama because of childishness. I want my life filled with drama because of growing in faith. The kind of drama associated with being a Christian and being a child of God and living for the Lord in this world. And so, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would work and that through this day there would be a real determination to evaluate that spiritual growth element and a real determination to be strong and stand fast in the faith. And I pray, oh God, that there would be those that would quit them like men and like women. Be determined. I may be yet in my teens, but I can grow in the Lord. I may be yet in my teens, but I can be a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ by spiritual growth in my life. Paul simply said to the church at Corinth, enough already, grow up. May we hear that in Jesus' name. Amen.
I have a formal invitation to the end, but I draw your attention to the notes. Later on, we'll take the time to fill out the My Plan section of your notes. And that's just taking what has been said today and defining what it's